Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen. All right, queens, welcome back to Fit for a Queen. We're excited to have Sydney Spencer with us today. Let me tell you a little bit about Sydney. Sydney is a recently retired professional women's basketball player living with her husband in Kansas City, Missouri. She is originally from Alabama, where her parents, two older brothers, and two dogs still reside. Sydney comes from a long line of athletes in her family, so it seemed fitting that she started playing basketball at the age of four. She received a basketball scholarship at the University of Tennessee in 2003, playing ball under legendary head coach Pat Summitt. Her senior year, they won the 2007 national title, and the next day she was drafted into the WNBA by the Los Angeles Sparks. She spent 5 years in the WNBA playing for the Los Angeles Sparks, New York Liberty, and Phoenix Mercury. During those same years, she spent her winters playing for teams overseas in Russia, France, Italy, Poland, Slovakia, Belgium, and China.
Sydney's now living in Kansas City doing basketball training, coaching, and some motivational speaking. She's passionate about using the trials and triumphs of her basketball career as well as the gospel to encourage and equip other women in their everyday lives. Since Sydney's in the area, I actually had the pleasure of having her come out and do a skills training camp with my daughter, who was in second grade, and about 20 other people. So let me tell you, Sydney has the patience of Job, that she could corral all these little kids and keep it so positive and uplifting. So she's already doing great things working with our young athletes.
Welcome to the podcast, Sydney.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to you. We're focusing on this athletic identity. That's going to be a topic in a lot of our episodes, and the difficulty in transitioning out of sport when it comes to that. So when you starting to play basketball at the age of four, it's been such a big part of your life for such a young age. Can you tell us what it felt like when you knew that you were going to no longer play competitively or that your life was no longer going to be centered around basketball? What did that kind of feel like for you?
Yeah, when I made that decision a year and a half ago that I was going to, I really did want to retire, and I was serious about it. I went through a lot of emotions. I think everything you can feel, from the grief of having something that you worked so hard towards for 20 plus years, just of losing that. To me, I didn't know how to explain it other than losing someone, a really close friend or something like that. And then I would have days of like excitement that I wouldn't have to be on a certain schedule and I wouldn't have to practice 5 hours a day. And then just fear of the unknown, of not knowing what I'm going to do with my life per se, or where I'm going when I move back to the United States, and just kind of walked through all of that. So some days I would cry, some days I'd be excited, some days I would be really angry and just afraid. So kind of walked through all of that. And it took really about a year to kind of detach myself from that complete identity as I'm a professional women's basketball player. I have to look like one, I have to train like one, and I have to just, that's who I am.
So. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that it was so difficult to transition out of sport at that time? It sounds like you had a lot of different emotions, which that seems normal to me. But were you surprised that it was so difficult?
I guess you can't fully prepare for something like that. But I really was surprised that it was so difficult. And I mean, and then on top of that, I was moving back to a brand new place. I've never lived in Kansas City and actually had never traveled here in all my travels. So there was just a wealth of emotion. And I'm really surprised I didn't have that next step ready because I wasn't sure what I would be doing or what my next job was. But yes, I didn't realize that process was going to take so long, which really was a good thing because I had to learn how to have grace. And as an athlete, you don't normally have just grace or give yourself permission to make mistakes because it's hard to be a high level athlete when you're constantly making a lot of mistakes. And so I had to learn. It was a huge growth process in character and just kind of letting that perfectionism go, which was essentially felt like it was like I was being torn into two people or torn in half. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I can tell you, Kansas City is happy to have you here.
Thank you. It has not disappointed. It is a great city.
So going along with that, having grace, can you kind of tell us how sports shaped who you are, you know, your work ethic, values, character, all of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if the woman that I am today is because of just those values that I've learned because of sport. And I was lucky enough to go to Tennessee where I got to play for Pat Summitt, who is just a legend in the sports world, men's or women's sports. And she really instilled in us, and sports do, you learn how to work hard. You learn how to work in teams. You learn how to persevere when things get hard. You always know and figure out how to find a solution to a problem. Like, you just won't be denied whatever it is. And so I think that's really shaped me. And that's been a good thing as I move forward and go into other endeavors and explore other things in life. I still carry with those attributes, which I love. I naturally have a leadership ability just because of playing sports, or I can function well under pressure just because of being last minute of a national championship game and you're down by five. Like, you just, those things just stick with you. And I am so thankful for sports as a reason, that's the reason that the things that I can carry with me into the new things in my life. Or if I become a mother someday, or as a wife, or as a friend, I still carry those same values and characteristics with me.
Mm-hmm. Had some amazing experiences that I'm sure has really shaped who you are today, for sure. thinking of like transitioning out of sport, you talked a little bit about it, but when you decide to leave the sport, thinking about having no idea what your body's going to look like when you're not training in that way, or what to talk to people about, what things helped you with your transition out of sport?
I think what's been most helpful for me are just the people that I've surrounded myself with that are just, I call them in my corner or in my circle, that kind of know my struggles as an athlete, or just know the transition and have known the transition that I've been in. For example, like, my husband has been amazing, because there have been days where I just felt so like I didn't have a purpose sometimes, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing with my life and what's the next step outside of basketball, and kind of letting go of basketball, that he just wouldn't let me quit. And he just kept reminding me, just put one foot in front of the other, just do what we can today. And just various friends that are close that have kept accountability. They've called me, they've prayed for me, they've challenged me. They've studied the Bible with me. They've just really just been invested in this journey and this process while I've walked through that. And when they go through tough times and maybe I'm walking through something, or I'm not walking through like such a difficult time, I can carry them as well. And so it's just been those relationships that have been important, because it's an ongoing process. I find myself, even this year, and this is my second year, I haven't had to go through preseason conditioning, but when August comes around, I start to feel a little bit of a, like, my body just knows August is go time. And so I still have a little bit of emotion that comes back, but yet I have great friends and great people in my circle that continue to remind me and push me on and help me to live not in the past, but just keep taking one step in front of the next.
Well, and basketball is still an important part of your life, and I think that's important to touch on how it's transitioned into competitive versus how have you transitioned kind of your love for basketball now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been one of the most rewarding things. And oftentimes when you walk through like challenging, difficult transitions, what comes out of that is so rewarding and it's so worth it. And I find now that I've started to be able to take everything that I've learned on the basketball court. And in addition to that, like the life skills that I've grown and learned and I've walked through as a result of playing basketball. And I get to use those when I train young children or young girls or young athletes. So for me, it's so rewarding. And it's my purpose to not only go and work them out and help them, yes, get better at their skills, but I also want to instill in them that their performance doesn't determine their value or their worth, and that they are more than just an athlete and they have so much to offer the world. So for me, it's just a great opportunity to continue to use this gift of basketball, but to grow and teach these young girls about their worth and value.
Mm-hmm. It's not all about just the sport. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Plus, you have a nice built-in support system with your husband being a strength coach. He kind of reins you in when you still want to do your three-hour practices, huh?
Absolutely. I think you need that. And he was okay if I just screamed at him and was like, no, I got to do this workout this way. And he's really helped me to learn how to train. I guess I call it just like a normal, just healthy human being and not trying to strive to be some continuing that professional athlete and striving for like a gold medal or something, you know, just to be healthy and do just a little bit. Yep.
On that note about young athletes, do you think there should be more services for young athletes in terms of support with transition? I was fortunate to hear Sydney speak a couple months ago, and you talked a little bit about all the services that Tennessee had, of course, under Pat Summitt. But what do you think would be helpful for athletes transitioning out of sport?
Yeah, I know that services exist, and all these athletes, I'm sure, know that, but just readily have that access to them. And, you know, I don't know if you can get this type of like a dietitian or nutritionist or strength coach or sports psychologist. I don't know if every team, college or club team or high school has that, but just making that just more conversation about it, those people being available, helping athletes know they're available, maybe coming in every so often and get in front of the athletes so that maybe at that time they're not struggling, but if something starts to spiral down out of control or something, then they're constantly seeing these faces and constantly know they have these resources available. Because I think in my time as a pro, I just didn't know who to turn to or where to go because those people weren't constantly in front of our face. We didn't get information on it. And I wasn't sure just how to get a hold of someone like that. So I think we do need those services available. I think athletes do. I think that's what makes them continue to keep us in check about healthy, if we're being healthy with our training habits and stuff. And also if there's a problem, then we can easily get to someone for help.
That's great. And the more that we have role models like you speaking up about it and saying, you know, one of your sayings I love so much, it's okay to not be okay and to ask for help. That's not a sign of weakness.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think it takes a stronger player to ask for help or to realize, hey, this is not how things are supposed to be going. Something's not right here. And just to bring in someone who is a professional in that area, I think that's a sign of being a strong athlete, that you can admit, like, I'm struggling here and I know this isn't right, so please help me. And, you know, athletes shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. You know, we all experience, we're all human. We all have things that we're walking through. There's difficulties or insecurities. Just bringing somebody alongside of you is, I think, tremendously, we need it, necessary.
That's great. So at the end of this, we always wrap up with asking each guest how they live out the fit philosophy. So I know balance probably looks really different to you now than it did 2-3 years ago. How do you still try to balance performance, maintaining health, intellect, and taking time for self?
Totally. Yes. Well, I've learned a few tips from hanging out with you two and some of your other colleagues about just like having a day where it's just self-care. You guys, self-care Saturday or self-care Sunday. I think that's been huge for me, just to say, I need this. This is going to be a part of my training, is just to really take this day and watch some football or lay on the sofa and eat some ice cream or something. That's been really good. Or just really trying to make myself, or some part of the week, make myself a priority in that, in taking care or relaxing or resting or doing something maybe that I don't normally do. Other things, like I try to maintain a healthy workout schedule, but if that is just a long walk, because right now we have incredible weather, well, we've had incredible weather the past 2 weeks, just go outside and enjoy nature and not feel like I've got to go do so many things, four sets of this many reps. Like, just enjoy doing other activities outside of maybe the weight room. And that's kind of how I've tried to, it's hard, but that's just kind of how I've tried to think about activity in more of a healthy way. Then it's got to be a certain number of reps and stuff to feel like I've done something.
Perfect.
Again, probably that self-care, something that you had to learn in your transition too, of having downtime and what to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that was kind of scary for me. I didn't feel like that was okay, but you just kind of sit in those emotions and you still do it. And then you start to, there's something in it that just clicks in your brain. Like, yeah, I am valuable. I can sit here and do this and it's going to be okay. And everything's not going to spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of have to train your body to do it. And at first it's really hard, but now I just really look forward to it. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it.
Training mm-hmm. in a different sense.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a totally different self-discipline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, Sydney, you brought up such great points. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Love what you guys are doing, and continue to hope and that this word spreads and that athletes can get a hold of something like this and really lives can be changed.
We appreciate for the better. That.
So, and Sydney, we'll be sure to include on the show notes where people can find Coach Sid at Complete Strength and have you out for some skills camp and just a great role model for young female mm-hmm. athletes.
Well, thanks, Becca. Thanks, yeah, Carol.
Thanks for what you're doing too. It's making a big impact on the little ones' lives. So thanks so much, Sydney.
All right. Bye, Coach Sid.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, bye, guys. And I want you both to know that, like, in this crazy transition for me, like, just you don't even realize it, but just the different times that I'm with you guys or listen to or just hear, whether it's the conference or that one night at dinner, it's constantly just therapy and for me, and just continued recovery and continued pouring out of grace on me. And that's something that I need reminders of all the time. So you guys have been pivotal to just walking in freedom. So thank you for me.
You've made our day.
Yeah. All right. Well, y'all enjoy.
Bye, Sid.
Bye, Sid.
Okay. See you.
Bye, Queens.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen.
Hashtag fit for a queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.